Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Across the Movie Aisle with this special emergency episode. Emergency-ish. There's not really a whole lot can be done to fix anything at this point. But it was, if you watch the bonus episode that is going to go up on Thursday, that is probably already up by the time you are seeing this, and you watch my face, you'll probably see in about 10 minutes in me start making like kind of weird squinting faces at the camera that are totally unrelated to anything that Peter or Alyssa are saying. And that's because I got the news that Rob Reiner was probably dead. He hadn't quite been confirmed at that point, but that two bodies had been found in Rob Reiner's house. And it was a weird, very surreal thing. I decided not to tell Peter and Alyssa in the middle of the show. I didn't want to derail it. I figured we should finish that. We could do another one shortly after, maybe the next day, once we had more details. And sure enough, we have more details and they're bad. It's a bad scene. I don't want to dwell on the ugliness of it all. Instead, I would like to celebrate the man's life and work. And I wrote an obit. We did a thing at the Bulwark. We did a live stream, had some folks on to talk about him. But one thing I have not discussed much at all is his work as an actor. It's not a small part of his career. I mean, he was, you know, on All in the Family, which is the biggest show on television. He transitions from that into directing, but even in his first major role as a director, he's a key actor in that film as the kind of fake director on This Is Spinal Tap. So, I don't know where to start here. Alyssa, you had mentioned a minor role that you had wanted to highlight first.
Yeah. It's such a bizarre thing to think of, given just the breadth of his work and his legacy. But when I heard that he died, I thought immediately of this tiny role that he plays in the adaptation of Primary Colors, Joe Klein's sort of fictionalized account of Bill Clinton's 1992 campaign for president. And Reiner plays a like Florida Jewish talk show host, Izzy Rosenblatt, who runs a show called Schmooze for Jews. And it's like, it's a fake talk show that's aimed at like Jewish retirees in Florida. And the scene is so funny. It's like the character who is like basically the stand-in for Bill Clinton, who's played by John Travolta, has gone on this show because he needs a softball interview. And he knows that like Izzy Rosenblatt will provide that. And one of the candidate's opponents calls into the show irate. And so you have Reiner as this talk show host trying to get his show back and like doing a really poor job of it. He's got this guy on the phone who's yelling at him and calling this other candidate, you know, dishonest and playing terrible politics. And he's like, who's your favorite comedian, Senator? And then the other candidate has a heart attack in the middle of the interview. And what's so fascinating about it is that, you know, Rob Reiner by this point in his career is, you know, sort of a legendary director, you know, an incredibly important actor just in television history, and absolutely nails playing this, you know, just small, awkward person who has been sort of thrust accidentally both into the national news and sort of into this fictional version of history. And, you know, it is such a, there's so many tests of acting, but watching someone play just like sort of a dorky little person in a role like this and nail it just perfectly, right, is such a sort of funny, sublime test of Reiner's ability. And also just the fact that he would take a role like that, right? Again, like, Rob Reiner doesn't need to play Izzy Rosenblatt in Primary Colors. Like, he just doesn't need to do it. And yet, there he is giving this sort of note-perfect performance in what I think is, you know, sort of a very underrated movie in some ways. And he just, you can sort of tell that he's pleased to be there, not because he is mugging or, you know, kind of calling. It's not like a nudge-nudge, wink-wink, like, I'm Rob Reiner and I'm doing this role. But he just, there's like a pleasure in the craft. And that I think is something really special and worth celebrating. And we're all the poorer for its loss.
Yeah, he shows up a lot like this, just in little smaller parts that you can tell he's kind of doing just because either he's a friend asked him to do it, or, you know, he saw the role and liked it. And it's hard not to think of his father, Carl Reiner, who was, of course, one of the great famous comedians. And there is it's funny. I'd forgotten that about this role is in Primary Colors. But the Jewishness of it, the like the kind of Judaism angle is a running theme through his work, in the same way that it often was with his father, Carl Reiner, that they have that kind of Borscht Belt sensibility, which
it's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but that's the scene where Travolta's Clinton stand-in character pretends to be reading a book, if I recall. Right. And is like, I've got this. There's a scene in that movie where Travolta's character is in. I believe that's with the Reiner character.
Yep.
Right.
I'm not. And he does a sort of like nudge, nudge, wink, wink, gets the Reiner character like in on the shtick. It's a delightful.
And what's remarkable about it, in my recollection, is that's a scene that both the Clinton character and the Rob Reiner host could have come across as really slimy. I mean, frankly, even with the words that are written. And so what you get from them, from the two of them, is this kind of masterclass, maybe not quite right, but like this great sort of little lesson in how to be charming, even while being kind of bad on screen, right? While doing something that is a little disreputable. He knows that this guy is lying to his listeners. He doesn't have he is a politician selling them snake oil, lying to them about having the book in front of him in the studio where we can all see. And the host can see there's no book. He's not reading word for word. He's just making it up on the spot. And that's the sort of thing where it would be so easy even unintentionally, it's actually quite difficult for an actor to make that charming and to make you come want to come along on that ride and think, okay, we're doing it because, you know what, the media politics has a little bit of, there's always a little bit of charm involved, right? A little bit of kind of actorly snake oil involved in running for office. And it's a rare thing that you're able to do that. And you can do that because you have some sort of natural ability just to like people. And he liked all of his characters that he played so much. And you see that then also in his directorial work, right? He really kind of, he rarely made really mean-spirited movies or mean-spirited characters. I mean, but he was an exemplar of that thing that you hear from actors, and that you hear from storytellers about how you, if you are an actor, if you are a storyteller, you have to see things from the character's point of view, because everyone believes that they are, to some degree or another, the hero in their own story, or at least justified in their actions. And he really did. And so that's part of why so many of his movies worked, is he, as a director, loved the characters, and he brought that out in his actors who had a forum for loving the characters they were playing. And then when he was an actor, even in other people's work, he was able to do it as well. I mean, you see that it's not a role that is inherently, you know, some other person would play this cynically, but you see that so much in his work. Just this last season on The Bear, I don't know if you guys saw season 4 of The Bear, when she plays a very small role, and it's so charming, and it doesn't call attention to itself, right? It's this thing. I mean, Rob Reiner, again, it's this thing that you talked about, Sonny. He doesn't have to take this job. He does not need, you know, I'm like ninth build on The Bear in, you know, maybe a total of 7 scenes across the 8 episodes, probably a little more than that. But like, it's not a big role. It's not like he's the showy, he comes on and he's the villain for the whole season. He's just like a kind person who comes in and tries to help these creative people in their journey to figure themselves out. And in some ways, actually kind of reflected, that role reflected what Rob Reiner did so well, was he talked to people, liked working with creative professionals and helping them figure out what it was they were about.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah, the bear role is interesting too, because there's very much a case to be made that, you know, that the whole tension in that show, particularly in the third and fourth seasons, is they've got this fancy restaurant, and the chefs all really want to make this Michelin starred part of it work. But the part that's actually successful, the thing that's actually keeping them afloat, is the meat and potatoes sandwich shop on the side. That's what keeps the money
beef
coming in. It's just these great sandwiches. And there's you do not have to stretch very hard to make the showbiz metaphor here. Like,
no.
Rob Reiner, the star of All in the Family, the king of the basic cable classic, I'm gonna come to that in a second, coming into the Bear and saying, wait a second, you've got this great thing, let's franchise it, let's take it all over the city, and if you can maintain that quality, if you can keep that up, you're going to make a mint doing it. That's going to be what this restaurant is known for, not the Michelin stars, not the fancy
sort of high end trappings that appeal to the critics and, you know, the diners who can afford a $400, two person check. That's a big part of what he did. But part of that storyline also, you know, goes back to what he did so well, was he was not embarrassed to be making popular crowd pleasers. Like, in any way, right? There's no sort of sense of shame or of like, oh, I'm just doing this for the paycheck. And in fact, it's not just that he made popular crowd pleasers, is he clearly poured for lack of a better word, real soul into his work. Like, he cared a lot about pleasing a popular audience and doing so in a way that had integrity. And I mean, just that he has this incredible run from 1986 through at least 1992 as a director. Stand By Me, The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, Misery, A Few Good Men. Like, these are movies that are just super, super squarely aimed at a mass popular audience. They are not trying to be kind of effete, you know, right, just for the people who really appreciate the kind of the technical or they're just popular movies that, like, normal people can come and enjoy.
And but they're not unsophisticated
really
either.
I think they're so well made.
But I think it's important that they're not unsophisticated movies, right? I mean, both, you know, the sort of framing device in The Princess Bride and the framing device in When Harry Met Sally, right? Like, you know, require you, like, there is sort of an interesting structure there. I mean, the characters in When Harry Met Sally are so sort of smart and literate, and, you know, they represent a kind of sophisticated life in New York. And I mean, they have a lot in common with, you know, some of Nora Ephron's New York set movies. You know, they're crowd pleasing, but they're not dumb, right? And I think that sort of deep respect for a mass audience is something that feels very rare today.
Yeah. I'll jump back into this in a second. One last note on the acting. It is funny. I was kind of trying to come up with just a paragraph to throw into my review, and the first thing I thought of, and the thing I keep going back to, and the clips I keep going back and watching, are his very, he's got a very small role in The Wolf of Wall Street. You know, The Wolf of Wall Street is a 3-hour movie. He's in it for maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes at the most. He just has these great sequences that both lay bare the tremendously scummy nature of what is going on, without doing so in a way that feels sneering or puts a thumb on the scale, which is not, it's a hard thing to do. That's a role that could very easily get lectury, have the wrong tone for that movie. Now, maybe if we go back and remember some of the reactions to that movie, maybe it needed a lecturing character to say, no, you are bad, you are bad people, because there were a lot of critics who didn't quite pick up on, to say nothing of audiences, that did not pick up on the tone that Martin Scorsese was going for in that film. But the the whole thing, and just the just like this perfect the perfect comic timing of him being interrupted during the Equalizer, where he's cursing, he's like, arr, 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 and he gets on the phone, he's like, yes, that's right, yes, you got it, you, and then he goes right back to, it's just perfect comic work. It is so funny, and so he makes it look so easy. And that's not easy. That's a hard thing to do. Acting is hard, and that sort of acting in particular is not easy to pull off. I do want to talk about the basic Cable thing for a minute, because I do think that, like, you know, we talk a lot about the decline of the monoculture on this show and, the fracturing of the audiences, et cetera, et cetera. But if you are of our age, if you grew up with Cable between like 1990 and 2015 or so, there were a series of movies that were playing constantly on TBS, TNT, HBO, whatever. And Rob Reiner was well overrepresented in that category. All of the movies we've discussed, a bunch of other ones, and a bunch of films that he produced as well under the Castle Rock Entertainment label, which I learned while I was reading this, and made a lot of sense. In retrospect, Castle Rock Entertainment was purchased by TBS, was purchased by Turner Broadcasting System, which I could only explain. It's the only reason why I have seen Dolores Claiborne 1,700 times. I can tell you that much, because that is not exactly a crowd pleasing film. It's very good. It's actually a shockingly good movie, but it definitely is not the sort of, like, it's not Stand By Me. It's not Spinal Tap. It is not the crowd pleasing sort of thing. So I don't know. My point here, though, is that Rob Reiner made things that were both good and popular, and there was somebody there who was pointing people to them. This is the other key thing, right? There's a programmer at TBS. I mean, it's not a disc jockey or whatever, but there's a team of people who are like, here are the things that are being watched, here are the things that are good, and we're going to show them. And that is what became the canon for this group of people. And we've lost that. We have literally lost that. That does not exist anymore. Now everything is fractured. Letterboxd tries to do it, and it gets weird very quickly.
Well, part of the reason that those films became basic Cable classics and became part of the canon is, yes, they were programmed, but why were they programmed? Those decisions weren't made in a vacuum, and they also weren't made entirely based on some sort of, subjective personal taste that had no correlation to anything. They were basic Cable classics because they were programmed frequently, because they were movies that appealed to a very wide range of people. And if you started, if you came across one while you were channel flipping, you very high likelihood that you were going to finish it. I mean, practically the definition of movies that you're just like, you're looking for something to watch. Oh, When Harry Met Sally, The Princess Bride. We're 20 minutes in, but I know, right? Like, we're at the part where will you please stop saying peanut. Right. Like, and you just watch it from the rest of there. And that's the next hour and 40 minutes of your life interspersed with like soap ads. Right. And that's how the TNN pays the bills, TNT, whatever. Right. And he made, like, those movies are so, they're so appealing, but they're also the kinds of movies that like are comfort food, that are rewatchable. And also that, especially if you've seen them once before, you can enter at any point and just sort of happily enjoy them for the rest of the way. Again, a pretty skill to make that kind of movie. And he did it a bunch of times.
And there were movies that, by providing you with some of that common cultural language, both became part of your life and became something that you wanted to be part of your life. I mean, when I was in college, I was in a position to like go into New York City cheaply. Like, I could do it on Metro North in a day. And so I went to New York a lot, by myself. It was the first time I'd ever done that. And one of the things my friends and I did was go to Katz's Delicatessen, because, the famous, like, I'll have what she's having orgasm faking scene and When Harry Met Sally is there. And like, it's that movie sold me on a vision of life in New York that was tremendously appealing. And was like, was I going to live the exact life of Sally? No, although my husband now does own like a great, cable knit Billy Crystal style sweater from that movie. But it's like, I wanted to be there. I wanted to be in those movies. And sometimes that meant a specific location, but sometimes it just meant a feeling of someone, telling you a bedtime story or turning presidential politics into a fairy tale. And, you know, I don't know that there are many people who are tapping into that sense that watching a movie can be like coming home. And maybe it's because we don't have a common sense of home that people can conjure up anymore. But Rob Reiner's movies and his performances were just a place that I wanted to live. And yeah.
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 It's funny awful. That you mentioned Katz's, to think of that as part of Rob Reiner's legacy, because it's not just that it's still there and that it still looks more or less like it did in that movie. It's that by 11:30 every day, there is a line around the corner every single day. So when I go to New York, I usually stay just a block or two away from Katz's, and I try to make a stop there because it's the best pastrami on rye I have ever had. And it's always the best pastrami on rye I've ever had. And would that place still exist? Would I have thought to go there? Would that be on my radar? If not for When Harry Met Sally, good chance no. And it's perfect comfort food. It's truly perfect comfort food.
That is for sure. All right. Well, I'm glad we could hop on and do this extra bonus episode. Sad circumstances, you know, let us know your favorite Rob Reiner movie in the comments or performance or whatever, because now is a time for celebration, not sadness. We will be celebratory here. That's what we're gonna do. So anyway, I'm Sonny Bunch. I didn't even introduce my colleagues here. We got Peter Suderman, we got Alyssa Rosenberg, you know who we are. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Across the Movie Aisle. We'll see you guys then.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.